Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Habayah, in the name of our Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. We thank you, Father, for the breath of life once again, Father, giving us another day and another chance to do right, Father. We thank you for the Shabbat day, this time that you set apart for us, Father, to commune with you, to come and approach you, Father, and to learn from you. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins that we committed knowingly and unknowingly. We ask, Father, that you strengthen us so we don't go to the left or to the right, Father. But when we do go to the left or the right, Father, that you chastise us, Father, and let us learn from the mistakes that we make, Father, so we don't make them again. Strengthen us, Father. Unify us, Father. Increase our faith, Father. Bring us closer to you. Let your mind be our mind, Father. Elevate us. Get us to where you want us to be, Father, as your sons and your daughters. Father, mold us and shape us in the way that you seem fit. Do what seems pleasing to you, Father. Anybody who's hurting or anybody who's hurting physically or mentally, spiritually, Father, that you heal them, that you comfort them, and that you strengthen them, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to watch over us, Father. Give us peace coming in and going out, Father. And always keep us as the apple of your eye. In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Amen.
Everybody can be seated. Shabbat Shalom, family.
Hello.
Everybody had a good week, I hope. Hope everyone's feeling well today. Hope everybody, if they had any issues, they talked it over with Abba and straightened everything out so we can have this time clear and free with him to commune with our Father. So, today what Abba put on my mind was feelings. And, you know, one of the things that we was going through with the opening was with James Evans and Florida back in Good Times, and how he was telling the women something his father said was the woman was good for the kitchen and the bed. So, being said, one of the things that was not being taken into account in that situation was each other's feelings, especially on James' behalf. Feelings is a way of communication. You know, a lot of times when we communicate, we can say something that is honest and truthful, but if we say it in the wrong spirit, it misses the whole point.
Amen.
You know, you can tell somebody something that is actually beneficial for them, but if you say it in the wrong spirit, I don't know a better way to say it, because we're humans and we connect, you know. Our feelings get involved in things. You can tell a way a person is feeling by their tone and by their demeanor sometimes their actions, and it can rub you the wrong way. You know, you can talk to somebody and y'all having a nice little conversation, and then all of a sudden something that was said was taken the wrong way because the person felt something, and now the conversation went all the way to the left. And this is based on, one, perceptions, but two, your feelings. You know, I felt as though you, and this is a lot of times when people say, I felt as though that you were saying it like this, and you, it's just how you took it, and it's how you perceived it. But one of the things that we don't want to forget is that Yahweh has feelings too. You know, the word actually talks about how he gets angry, or how he is joyful, or how he is this, that, and another, any type of feeling that we feel, he feels. So a lot of times, are we taking Yahweh's feelings into consideration when we do a thing? You know, another thing is that when we read these words that's within this book, and the prophets that are bringing these words out, they are expressing not only Yahweh's mind, but they are expressing his feelings.
Amen.
You know, when, all right, let's look at First Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 9. First Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 9, it reads, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the thing which Elohim had prepared for them that love him. But Elohim has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things." So, it's by his Spirit that he understands us, right? And it's by his Spirit that we get an understanding of him, right? So it says, I just read that, I'm sorry, verse 11. He says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of Elohim knoweth no man, but the spirit of Elohim. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Elohim, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Elohim." So the same way when we're out in this world, we feel a certain way and we feel these different things, and we can relate to this world. That's the relationship Yahweh wants with us. The same type of relationship, the same type of love affair that we have with this world, that we can relate to it, and we learn from it, and learn everything about it. That's what Abba wants from us. So he imparts his Spirit onto us so we can know these things. Right? He says, okay, verse 13. He says, "Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of Elohim, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can we know them, because they are, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of Yahweh, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. So, when he imparted his spirit unto us, not only did he give us literally a piece of his mind, right? But he all in his mind, you have feelings in there, because these are where your feelings originate.
Amen.
You know, this is where, okay, me and Danielle used to get into it all the time. Everybody know that. Have our little arguments. And she will always express how she felt to me. But me, she always said I was nonchalant, right? Like, it just really didn't matter. Nothing matters to you. Nothing matters to you. And it wasn't that nothing mattered to me. It's just that everything mattered to you. So if you got an issue that you can't control, I'm expecting you to control it, even though you can't control it. So that's an issue. You got an issue that we can control, and you're not controlling it. That's the issue. And so a lot of times what I perceived as anger coming from her, it wasn't really anger. It was frustration. It might have been worry. It might have been something other than anger, but I'm perceiving it as anger. But what she's doing is expressing her feelings towards me, the same way how Florida was doing with James. James don't say it. James don't do this. James don't do that. And then all of a sudden, when she fired back, so to speak, you know, then now he's like, whoa, now he in his feelings. Woman, what you doing? You never did this before. You know, he's perceiving it as something else. But what it was, it's just a disconnect. We wasn't feeling each other out, you know. We wasn't trying to understand one another. So Yahweh don't want that to happen with us. So he gave us the prophets. And when these prophets went out, they weren't just reading and saying stuff. That they wanted Yisrael to really understand Yahweh.
Amen.
You know, really understand that you are hurting the Most High with your actions. He really wants you to. He really wants you to stop this. You know, he really needs you to be better kids, better children, or more obedient. The same way with your kids. You know, your kids. No child wants to disappoint their parent. None wants to disappoint their parent. You know, so. You know, I got this little issue with my daughter. You know, because. She always tells, well, I wasn't enough for you. Oh, it's not that. It's not that you wasn't enough for me. I love you, but I don't want you to. I know your potential. I know what you're capable of. I've seen it. I've seen it your whole life. I've seen how at 2 or 3 years old, you knew how to work a VCR. Whatever it is that you put your hand to, you can accomplish. But I'm not trying to hear your excuses, you know. I'm not going to accept your laziness. I'm not going to say, okay, that's all right. 60 is passing. 50 is passing. Mm-mm. No, I'm not going to accept that. I know your potential. I know what you're capable of. You know? And so because I won't accept that, she feels as though, well, I was never enough. I'm not good enough and this, that, and enough. No, it's not that. So you need to get rid of that feeling because that's not what I'm saying. You know, same way with the Most High. Israel, you're being disobedient. This is why you're getting punished. This is why, no, I'm not casting you off forever. I am angry at you. I'm upset. But my anger is not going to last forever. I need you to understand that. So now, this is what you had to do to get back in right standings. All right? But when these prophets went out there and they did that, they were literally telling Yahweh, they were literally telling Israel, how Yahweh felt, you know, because they had that mind, the mind of the mind of Yahweh. So let's look at the life of one of these prophets. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. You know, we're going to look at the life of young Samuel. Excuse me. You know, we know the backstory. We've been through it. His mother was barren. Yahweh blessed him, blessed her to have a child. He went to serve into the house of Yahweh at a young age and was there. So now the man who was taking care of him, Eli, is going to get told some stuff because he had two sons, and they were not good. They were not good sons. They was out there running amok. So now this is when Yahweh starts communicating with Samuel. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And it reads, "And the child Samuel ministered unto Yahweh before Eli. And the word of Yahweh was precious in those days. There was no open vision." So Yahweh wasn't doing a whole bunch of talking back then. "And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. In error, the lamp of Elohim went out in the temple of Yahweh, where the ark of Elohim was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. That Yahweh called Samuel, 'Here I am.' And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I call not, lie down again.' And he went and lay down. And Yahweh called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I call not, my son, lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know Yahweh, neither was the word of Yahweh yet revealed unto him." So this is a whole new experience. This is his introduction to the Most High. And in his introduction, Yahweh is going to give him a message. And with the message, just imagine how he has to feel with this message. Right? So, "Now Samuel did not know Yahweh, neither was the word of Yahweh yet revealed unto him." Verse 8. "And Yahweh called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that Yahweh had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Yahweh, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And Yahweh came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant hears.' And Yahweh said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Form against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will not make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not.'" So, not only is Samuel, this the first time, this is his first interaction with Yahweh. Now he's finding out that the man who raised him had two sons. He wasn't on point, and now he's going to get judged for it. You know?
Amen.
And this is the first message that Yahweh is giving Samuel, right? So he says, verse 14, "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." Yahweh is totally pissed about this. "No, you can't, Eli, you can't make this one right. Your son's got to go. That thing that I said is going to happen, you know. You done messed up so bad. You done let this get so far that now I've got to punish you."
Amen.
You know? Verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of Yahweh. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. So now, put yourself in Samuel's face, please. He has to tell the man who raised him this. Yahweh said that the thing he said concerning you is going to happen. He said he was going to kill both your sons at one time. It's going to happen. He said that there's no way that you can make this right with him. All these things are everything. And he has to say this to the man who raised him. You know, he don't want to do that. You know, he don't want to do that. So this man is sitting up here, and, you know, he's not that old at this time. You know, because he's looking up at him as like a father figure. You know, and he has to go to his dad and tell him this.
Amen.
So how is this man feeling? And he has to make it known how Yahweh's feeling about this thing. You know? So verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that Yahweh has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. Elohim do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is Yahweh. Let him do what seemeth right. So Eli understood. But that was a message that man didn't want to tell him. Samuel didn't want to tell his pop. He went to open the house of Yahweh, probably trying to avoid the situation. Let me go clean something up, you know. How am I tell him this, you know? But Yahweh needed him to do this. And from then on, what happened with that? He got more effective with it, right? Because as Yahweh continues to interact with you, you become more effective at bringing forth his truth, because he tells you what you need to say, when you need to say it, and then if need be, he takes over and expresses something. You know, it was a time when we experienced it, you know. Yaakel was teaching, and he asked a question. And then that spirit came over him, and he went down the road. He said, do you understand? Do you understand? And remember, Shabbat said, Toda. He got so, but that spirit took over. Yahweh needed us to understand, look, I'm not playing right now. You know? And it's like that with all the brothers. It comes a point in the time when Yahweh takes it. He says, Yahweh came to Samuel. It said, boo. So he came to Samuel. And then he stood by Samuel, and then he spoke to Samuel, you know? So it's sort of like, okay, I'm going to let you talk. Let me just, all right, I'm going to take over. Tag, I'm in now. Because it's like he's standing right here. Now, son, I need you to emphasize this. I got it. Tag, I'm in, you know? And so, but that's how it is. You know, I can't explain it no better way. Because that's sort of what happened. It come over you, and he needs to emphasize something. He's going to emphasize it. You know,
hallelujah.
It's not you talking anymore. He's right. Going to emphasize that. So when you sitting up here and you feeling the way you're feeling, it's not you. It's not your feelings.
Right.
You know, this is how he's feeling.
Right.
You know, and you're bringing forth his feelings. Because that's what the prophet does. Sometimes you have to make this thing, sometimes he has to make himself known.
Amen.
Right in that, boom. All right? So I need this to, all right, so I'm going to put the step. It's sort of like how when we read in the scriptures, I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh. Don't forget that. Don't forget who I am. I am Yahweh. I'm making this known. So when he stood, all right, I got you. You know, I'm talking now. I got this. All right? Any questions or comments so far? All right. So he says, verse 19. And, all right, verse 18. And Samuel sold him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is Yahweh. Let him do what seemeth good. Verse 19. And Samuel grew, and Yahweh was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. You see what happens when we keep on walking. None of his words fell to the ground.
Amen.
As you continued with Yahweh. You know, this is what he's going to do. He's going to keep on upholding you. Why? Because you're expressing him. You know, he says, verse 20, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of Yahweh. And Yahweh appeared again in Shiloh, for Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of Yahweh. So that's the first message that Samuel had to give. And he's a young man. He had to give it to somebody who was quite important to him. So as he, like I said, as he continued to grow, he grew. And Yahweh supported him, you know, as he continued to walk and continued to walk and continued to walk. So he supported him so much. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 19. Starting at verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 20. And it reads, and Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the spirit of Elohim was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. So not only is it the prophet's job to express the feelings of the Most High, now it's his job to teach others how to express the feelings of the Most High. You know, because Yahweh wants everybody to understand how he feels. He said he don't want to lose none. Right? So if he has people out there telling people how he feels, look, I love you, come back to me, don't do this, don't do that, better chance for folks to come to him. Now, ultimately, it's everybody's choice. Ultimately, everybody has a choice to accept or reject. But Yahweh needs his presence known within this world to combat the spirits of this world. You know, combat the lusts of the flesh. Combat the things that we actually desire, you know. So he has to have his spirit and his spokesman within the world so he can understand, so people will understand how he feels, you know, because that's what we're doing, explaining to the world how he feels. All right? Any questions or comments so far? All right. So again, in the book of Hebrews, starting at in chapter 5, starting at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 12. It reads, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Elohim, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So, Israel got to a point, because they were a chosen nation to be, they are supposed to be the spokespersons of Yahweh. There's certain things that Israelites are supposed to know, according to the Hebrews are supposed to know, right? And we ought to be teachers. But what did he say? You have to start over. So that goes for everybody. If we don't understand how the Spirit works, that means we have to start over from the beginning. Because we cannot skip steps.
Amen.
You know, every time you skip a step, you're missing something. Every time you go A, D, Z, you're missing something. And that I really think that's why there's so much confusion in the Bible when it comes to this word. How many people just read the narrative and try to accept the narrative and understand what's going on with the narrative just from reading the narrative first?
Amen.
He says the physical things teach you about the spiritual things. So physically speaking, what went on in this narrative that I need to understand that's going to show me something about Yahweh? But everybody want to reach out into the spiritual things and didn't grasp the physical things.
Amen.
Nicodemus said, Yahushua told Nicodemus, if you can't get this spiritual stuff, if you can't get this physical thing, there's no way you're going to understand the spiritual.
Amen.
When I told you have to be born again, all I'm saying is you got to start over. You got to be like a baby again because the stuff that you learned ain't right. You got a lot of junk with you, so you have to be renew your mind. What does that mean?
Amen.
Start your mind, start the thinking process over again.
That's
all it means.
Amen.
But everybody want to go, oh, I'm spiritual. But you're missing out on all the right-hand stuff, looking at all the left-hand stuff.
Amen.
Two sides to your body. You got to keep it in balance, and you have to learn. Just because you learn how to multiply don't mean you don't add anymore.
That's right.
You know? You have to learn the baby stuff first before you can reach out here and get all this extra. Because it is a whole bunch of extra. Yahweh got a whole bunch of extra stuff that he wants for you to know. But get this stuff here first.
That's right.
You know? So that way when you reach into the extra, he'll put it together for you.
That's right.
But if you miss this here, then when you get to the extra, it's like, whoa, you remember that? You know, you won't have that look on your face like,
right.
You know, that's the part they're missing.
Amen.
You know, so he says there's things that you ought to understand as being a Hebrew, you know, as dealing with these words, things that we ought to know. Well, dealing with his spirit, there's things that he wants us to know. The beginning things. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 1. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Messiah, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from death, from repentance of dead works, and the faith toward Elohim, of the doctrine of baptisms, and the laying of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. You know, he says that these are principal things. I shouldn't have to be telling you about this. This is stuff you should already know as being a Hebrew. So Yahushua, so there are certain things when you're dealing with the Spirit of the Most High that he wants us to know that should be elementary to us. It should be obvious to us. You know, because he wants to, how can you perfect something that you never began? You know, perfection goes from beginning to end. You know, when he says he wants a complete work, that means when you put in the, as men, a lot of times we put together furniture and stuff. If we got any extra parts left over, that means we missed a step somewhere, you know. Because the parts, unless they're giving you extra parts, and it says extra parts in there, then you missed a step somewhere. It's an extra screw, or extra this, or extra that. Man, I missed something. It looked like it's together, but then when you sit something on it and it falls down, hey, oh, that's what that was for, you know? But that's, you have to go A, B, C, D, and keep it moving, you know? Same thing with the Most High. We're on prayer, so we keep on moving closer to him. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. All right, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to do it. They hit steps. He's going to order the path. That's all you got to do is follow it. He's going to say, all right, I need you to read this. I need you to look at that. I need you to do this. And just follow it because he got you. You know, he's going to develop in you what he wants to develop in you. Because everybody has a different task. Everybody has a, what the brother passionate about, he might not be passionate about. What he passionate about, he might not be passionate about. The same thing with me, you know.
Man.
But everybody has a different task. And when we bring it all together, now we got him, you know. Now we got Elohim. Now we got, I'm sorry, all right, that fire going to come out in this brother about XYZ subject. And then now we're going to speak about this subject with this brother like this. Because everybody's like that, but it's all his spirit. It's all him. And he's utilizing it in different ways so everybody can understand.
That's right.
Is everybody following me? So any questions so far? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, this is going back to that milk and being unskillful. Starting at verse 1. And it reads, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Messiah. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able to bear it. For you are carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, ye are not carnal, and are you not carnal and walk as men." So, carnality, not using that word, causes division, all these things. Now, Yahweh does not want division. He doesn't want division. So whenever there is an issue between a brother and a sister, if one party has an issue, it's an issue, right? If I have an issue with that brother, he might not feel a certain way. I'm like, all right, I got an issue with you. I need to talk to you. Everything might not be good. Everything might be good on his end because he didn't know he offended me. But I have something to say to him. So if one person has an issue, there's an issue. You know, he says if a brother offends another brother, that means he's feeling a certain type of way and he has to express his feelings towards you to get this out. You know, there's an issue. Let them talk about it and win that brother back. Get back on that accord where y'all can be peaceful with one another. Because now the carnality has set in. And you're being unskillful with the word, you know. It's any time that there's, and we will, let's be honest, issues are going to happen, you know. So that's why you can't hide your feelings. You can't let it fester. You can't sweep it under the rug. You can't sit it on the back burner, you know. These things need to take place because as long as it happens, then that's the devil's playground, so to speak, for lack of a better term. Hasatan can work with that. Hasatan can work with the hidden. Hasatan can work with these feelings that you, quote-unquote, repressing, you know?
Amen.
So if that needs to be done, it needs to be done because what? James and what's the name? James in Florida. That first thing, hey, baby, what was you doing? Oh, it was nothing, honey. She didn't want to tell him. Hey, baby, come on, tell him what's going on. I really want to know. Oh, it's nothing, honey. Girl, I want to know, you know. See how quick that went left? And that's all she had to do was say she was at the meeting.
Right.
But now it then escalated because it seemed as though, and he perceived it as, and he's feeling like she's hiding something from him. Because now I got to ask my wife something three times when normally it's just once. You know, and she's not saying anything. She's not hiding anything from me. So now this thing then came to me, and I'm out of character. So now we got issue between husband and wife on that show. Well, same way. You know, if there's any type of issue between any type of brother, any brother, any sister, whoever, they need to resolve it and just boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because we've seen what happens when people hold on to stuff, You know, we've seen what happened.
Amen.
And that, who was at the back? Who was the accomplice of it? Who was, Hasatan was the only person working. He was just like, oh, yeah, I got you now. Yes, Lord, you are walking with me. Just give me your hand. We're going to skip. We're going to have a nice little time. You know, we're going to walk through the fields. And now, you know, all because you didn't want to express how you felt. It ain't like people wouldn't understand, you know. And if you are a brother or your sister, if we are family like we say you are, you'll do your best to understand. At the very least, you're going to apologize and not offend that brother again that way or his sister that way. Again, that way, you're going to do your best to keep the harmony, you know. Let me find this one. Bear with me for a second. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 10. Start at verse 9. Verse 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So, sure, do right by everybody, but especially us. Especially, don't go out and beef with nobody, but especially us. You know? Live peaceably with everybody. But there shouldn't be no issues here.
Amen.
We should be understanding one another more than anything. Here. You know,
amen.
That's what's supposed to be going on. That's what we're asked to do.
Amen.
You know, shouldn't be no beef. Shouldn't be no.
Amen.
Or and is it all that going on? Shouldn't be that.
Amen.
You know, and if it is that, let's resolve it.
Amen.
If you really feel that way or whatever, let's resolve it. Because if we let Yahweh resolve it,
there you go.
It's going to be an issue. We don't want his foot on our necks.
Amen.
Stuff can go way bad for us. We're seeing Israel. We're living Israel.
Amen.
You know? They went into captivity all because they didn't want to obey Yahweh and they didn't have respect for one another. He said those two laws is the two that hang the whole Torah. Love Yahweh with all your heart, your strength, and your might. Love your brother as you love yourself. And Israel was not doing that. So what happened? Go to captivity. Sit your butts down. Y'all want to treat each other bad? Fine. I got some folk out here that's going to show you how bad you can treat one another.
Amen.
That's the truth of the matter. Because we didn't want to do right by one another, and we didn't want to do right by Yahweh.
Amen.
We don't want to connect with one another. You know? Now, any questions or comments about anything? Where was I? Okay, read that one. Okay. All right. In Psalms, chapter 73, I'm going to start at verse 1. And this is a common theme. Psalms chapter 73, starting at verse 1. And this is a common theme out the Bible, where people speak to Yahweh because they see all the atrocities that's going on in the world, and it seems like they're not getting punished. It seems like the evildoers, they don't have nothing to worry about. They got money, they got this, that, and another. And people of the Most High, I always talk to Yahweh about it. I do myself. I'm like, Father, I'm just trying to do you. Why am I so broke? Honestly, you know, why am I so broke? You know, it makes no sense. You know, but that's what he wants for me. You know, and he gives you the answer in his word. So, Psalm 73, 1. He says, a psalm of Asaph. Truly Elohim is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolishness when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters are of a full cup are wrung out. And they say, how does Elohim know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? So this is all the thoughts of the wicked people. Yahweh, ain't no God. He don't know what's going on. I'm over here bawling. I'm bawling crazy. I got this. I got, look at this. Look at my Rolls Royce. Look at these $5,000 shoes and my Gucci suits and this, that, and another. My God. God for what? Who cares? Even if there is a God, he don't know what's going on. He ain't paying me no attention. They out here doing everything wicked under the sun. And it seems like ain't nothing going to happen to them. He says, and they say, how does Elohim know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in enmity. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the children of thy generation. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of Elohim, I understood I therein. So, he had his complaint. He told Abba how he felt about what's going on. I'm doing all this for nothing, Yahweh. I cleansed my heart for nothing. There's no profit in obeying you. This is how he's feeling, walking in this world, right? He said, but then he went into the sanctuary of Yahweh, and it all became clear to him, you know? So why is that? Why is it when he went into the sanctuary, that's when everything became clear? Now he's getting the mind of Yahweh. Now he's understanding what the Most High is feeling. He gets it now. Okay, no problem. Look. I know you feel that way, but don't worry. Because their end is going to be horrific, while your end is going to be glorious. You're working for something. Believe me, you're getting a reward. All this stuff, you feel as though when you're walking in this world, dang, that show going to be real nice. I really want to see Cat Williams or XYC. Why he always come on Friday nights? Why he always come on the Sabbath or, you know, my somebody's birthday or wedding or this, that, and another? Always coming on Shabbat. They're always having a nice cookout on Shabbat. I really want to hang out with my friends. I really want to be with my family. Yada, 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 yada. But guess what? The reward that you're going to get for not being with them far outweighs that cookout. It far outweighs that time that you're giving up for him. For that time that you're getting up from them, because you're spending time with Abba, and now you are developing his mind, and you're going to see things how he sees it, you know? you see this world differently. So he says, until I went into the sanctuary of Elohim, then understood Isaiah. Verse 18, surely thou didst set them in a slippery place. Thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Master, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my veins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. This is how he's feeling, but this is how Yahweh makes you feel when you understand his mind. Because you're sitting up there, how many times? We read the book of Job. We read the book of Job. When Job went through it and he went through all this, this, that, and another, at the very end, the youngest, I can't remember his name, the youngest one came and he sat down Job and he told Job the words of the Most High, and then Yahweh spoke himself and shut him up. He said, I had to cover my mouth. And that's how you feel, because you're going to talk to Yahweh. You're going to bring not so much an accusation, but you're going to be upset at the Most High, because this walk, you get tough.
Amen.
And you have to tell Father Abba, you know, what's that's how you feel. And you're going to vent, and you're going to lash out, and you're going to do these things. But then he's going to remind you of stuff that just straight shut you down.
Amen.
I'm telling you, he did it on me more than one occasion. He's going to straight shut you down, you know, just reminding you of things. Because as it started out, as this song, surely Yahweh is good to Israel. That's what he said. And sometimes we forget that. He's surely good to Israel. Even when Israel is bringing bringing their issues to the Most High. Even when we get selfish. Even when we're feeling a certain type of way. Even when we're double-minded. However you want to put it, you know, he's still good to us. And sometimes we need a reminder of that, right? He says, verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? But there is none upon earth that I desire to be beside. Sorry, that I desire besides thee. Excuse me. My flesh and my heart faileth. The Elohim is my strength, is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. I'm going to just stop right there. Because he understood that once he hit the sanctuary.
Amen.
You know, the world don't seem that getting closer to the Most High, and he opens up your eyes. It's sort of like how Balaam was doing, because we read what he was doing, and he was used in enchantments. But then it says when Balaam realized that it pleased Yahweh to bless Israel, he didn't go through those enchantments like he did before, and he went and Yahweh really spoke through him. You know, that's what happened, because he just kept on getting closer and kept on getting closer and kept on getting closer. And he understood how Yahweh felt. He got it. You know? And the same thing is going to happen with us as we keep walking. You know, we're going to understand Yahweh's intentions, his emotions, and all that. When back in 1 Samuel, right, in chapter 3, when we read, it says, now Samuel did not know Yahweh, neither was the word of Yahweh revealed to him. That word revealed in the Hebrew, number 1540, That word is galal, and it means to denude. Especially in a disgraceful sense, by implication to exile, captives usually being stripped figuratively to reveal, because this is what Yahweh is doing. He's literally exposing himself to us.
Amen.
You know, when he gives us his word, I have nothing to hide. You know, here, what you want to see, what you want to know. You know, what do you want to know? I'm literally uncovering myself to you. You know, and the only person that you uncover yourself to, you're supposed to be uncovering yourself to, is your spouse.
Amen.
That's what he's doing. He's literally espousing himself to us when he gives us his word. That's
right.
Why we feel the way we feel, because nobody knows your feelings like your spouse.
That's right.
Nobody. You know, that's why I talked about my ex so much. Nobody knows me like Danielle. Even to this day, nobody knows me like her. So that's what's happening with the Most High. I want to know you on this level, the same level that when you know your wife, you know where every birthmark at, you know where every mole at, and I'm just using that for example, but you know your wife.
Amen.
You know, same way with your husbands. You know your husbands. You know, this is how he wants, this is the type of relationship he wants with us.
Right.
You know, nothing hidden. So he says he's going to reveal himself to us. You know, and when he's revealing himself to us, now I'm not trying to be carnal, but who don't get a feeling when they see their spouse naked? Who don't get a feeling? Who don't like that? Who don't enjoy that? You know? It's just the truth. And I'm just talking from a physical standpoint. Who doesn't like that? You know? This is how we're supposed to know these things. We're supposed
That's
to
right.
learn from this stuff.
That's right.
You know? We're supposed to be getting it just from this level right here.
Amen.
I need y'all to understand this. The same way you get that big smile when you see her start taking them clothes off, that's the way I want you to smile at me when I reveal myself to you.
Amen.
That's what I want, that smile on your face, because that's what it is. That's the type of relationship that he wants. That's the type of intimacy that he wants. That I don't need to hide nothing from you. I don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed of me. I don't have to be ashamed of you. You know, it's just us. You know, this is what he wants for us. Any questions or comments so far?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jeremiah chapter 25. Starting at verse 3. It says, from the 30th year of Josiah, the son of Jeremiah chapter 25, starting at verse 3. It reads, from the 30th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word, oh, that's it, 13th, I'm sorry, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Yehudah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of Yahweh hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early, but ye have not hearkened. And Yahweh hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn you again, now everyone, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that Yahweh hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. So These prophets are pleading with the people. They're making Yahweh's feelings known. Turn, look, stop. Please stop. Stop doing wrong. Please just dwell in this land. I got this land over here. I will protect you, but just stop doing wrong. Please stop doing wrong. They're begging because that's how Yahweh wants. Look, tell these stop. I need them to stop. Beg them if you got to. You know? Them understand that I need this foolishness in Israel to stop. You know? He says, verse 6, he says, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith Yahweh, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, because you have not hearkened unto my words, behold, I will send the families, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. You think he really wanted to do that? No. He didn't really want to put you in captivity, but you was hard-headed. He said, stop. What he wanted you to do is the same thing he told you from the time he took you out of Egypt. Obey my voice. That's it. That's all I need y'all to do. Please listen to me. Pretty please. But what do you say? Y'all went after other gods. Y'all did all this work with y'all hands. And y'all making me hurt y'all. That's what he's saying. You making me spank you. You making me pop you. You know? You're not doing right. So I have to pop you. Same thing with Eli. Got to the point where I don't even want your sacrifice. You can't clear this with me. When it came to Eli, he let his sons run amok that bad. And he knew about it. So no, you can't sacrifice something and I'll forgive you for this one. Those boys got to go. And when you hear about it, you're going with them. Israel, same way. Stop, Israel. Please stop. Fine. Captivity is what you want. Captivity is it will be. So go ahead down there. I'm bringing Nebuchadnezzar and all these other families from the north. And when you meet them dudes, man, you would have wished you would have listened to me. Because I guarantee you, there's a lot of people out here right now wishing they listened to Yahweh. A lot of people, a lot of Israelites, people understanding that they're Hebrew, and a lot of people that understanding that we are the children of Israel, and I know they pissed off at the forefathers. Hey, I wish you would have listened to them, because we wouldn't be in this right now if you would have listened to them.
The problem is, they ain't listening to them.
They ain't listening to me. But what do you say? I told you the end from the beginning. Things that ain't happen, things that are going to happen, I told you already. The stuff that ain't going to happen. So we ain't listening. We ain't going to listen. It's going to be some. And I really think that really gets my goat. You know, especially all these brothers out here that keep on howling about, I believe the word, I believe the word, I believe the word. But every time that Yahweh talks about captivity and us being in captivity, he never says rebel. What he says is go down into captivity, dwell there, have kids, build houses, get your money right, get however you want to take it. Live in that captivity.
Right.
Thrive in that captivity, and I will be with you in that captivity.
Right.
He don't say rebel against the oppressor.
Right.
What he actually says is pray for peace while you're down in that captivity.
Right.
Pray that your captivity is peaceful.
Amen.
But you got all these brothers out here trying to grab guns and wanting to leave and this, that, and another. I'm a sovereign nation. I'm a Moor. I'm not checking African American on my status. I'm changing my status. I'm doing this, that, and another. They're not even going to save you.
Sure.
Where you going to go? When Yahweh saying is against you, where you going to go? If you go back to Africa, guess what? Them Africans going to get you. If you go to any other country, wherever, you are hated. You are hated no matter where you go in this world. I just saw a video on Facebook where it was a Mexican. And it was three brothers. They walking. They on the subway going to work. A Mexican sitting up there yelling, "Nigger! Nigger! Nigger!" Yo, you a Mexican. You a nigger too. You just don't know. You know? He yelled, "Nigger! Nigger! Nigger!" Then got the nerve to spit on him. He spit on the boy. And they came up and they wore him out. You know, and white people came and broke up the fight. But it's like you're hated no matter where you go.
Amen.
Where are you going to escape the hand of Yahweh? If Yahweh's hand, if he say, the whole earth is mine.
That's right.
All this is mine. Where are you going to go? Where you going to escape the hand of the Most High?
Amen.
David says, if I go down to the grave, you there.
That's right.
Where are you going to go? You can't go nowhere. So I don't care what you check. I don't care how much land you get. I don't care how much money you get. If you're not obeying the Most High, it's all for naught.
That's right.
All for naught. Because even if you acquire land over here, they can take it from you. They ain't even got to ask. They ain't got to ask. I'm just seizing this. You know, eminent domain. Give me this.
Amen.
That's why they always keep a war going. Because all those war laws are always in effect. Always.
Amen.
That's why America is always at war. So if I feel like, anytime I feel like seizing your land, I can. Anytime I feel like, I mean legally, and there's nothing you could do about it.
Amen.
So where you going to go? And it's the same way over in any other country. Because even if you do band together, let's say you band together, and you get a couple hundred thousand people to go and you get some land over in some country, you don't have an army. You don't you don't have an infrastructure. You don't have any type of financial economy or nothing like that. All that stuff is hinged upon other nations. You know? Yes, sir.
What I was going to say, there's no continent that exists that just has land waiting for somebody to come occupy.
Right.
Every land that's out there is a part of some country. You're not going anywhere thinking you're going to set up shop without getting permission from those people who are already in the land. You know, and I think a lot of times people don't think about that, because I was looking that up. In Africa, people want to go back there. You got 54 countries in Africa.
Right.
The question is, which one you going to agree to become a part of?
Right.
Because you ain't going over there and starting your own thing.
You sure?
You know what I mean?
Shoot. They treat you just like they treat them white folks over there. They're sitting up there, they're taking the land back from them white folks, them white farmers. Some of those countries, not South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, South Africa took it, but then the new guy gave it back. You know, but they running them folks out there because they saying, this is our land. This us right here. So wherever you think you're going to go, good luck with that. That's all I got to say. Anybody who hop on that boat, good luck with that. Maybe they can start Atlantis or something like that. But he says, verse 9, he said, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against the land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." So you think these prophets want to tell these folks that? Yahweh said, tell them this. You know, and they had to constantly do this. How are they feeling? That they constantly have to look about Lot down in Sodom and how he had to endure all this thing going on around. He had to endure this, you know. It's the same thing for these prophets. How do you think Lot was feeling seeing all this bestiality, all this sodomy, and all this crap going on in him around? He's in the middle of it. He has to endure all this. And now you have the prophets who's standing for Yahweh and all this stuff going on. You see all these Israelites up in the high places giving offer to Baal, and they down there with Ashtaroth, and they over here and they over there. All this crap going on, and they have to endure this, and they have to express how Yahweh is feeling. How that's a task. It's a taxing task. It takes his spirit to do something like that. And only he can express that. Only he can say exactly how he's feeling. Because I'm looking at all this. And, I mean, really think about it. Think about Yahushua up on his throne, sure enough, looking down. And let's just take Baltimore City. He's just looking at Baltimore City, and he sees men sleeping with men and women sleeping with women and men sleeping with animals and women sleeping with animals. And they doing all kinds of evil stuff, rapes going on, sodomy, all these child molesterers and everything. All this stuff going on. How do you think he's feeling right now? He has to endure this.
Man.
He has to endure this because it's a set time that he's coming back. And he knows when. I'm only going to take it but so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sees all the oppression that goes on here. He sees men sleeping in all that cold underneath a bridge. He sees people, kids, starving. And I'm throwing away all this food every day. You know? He sees all this stuff and has to endure it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? All because men feel a certain way. There's no caring. There's no love. And they can't connect with one another. And he has to endure this.
Amen.
And then he has to impart his spirit onto you. And you have to tell folks, that's wrong. That's not right, and you have to make them understand that it's not right. It's not right that these men are laying down underneath of this bridge in the wintertime when you got all these abandoned buildings that you can build that abandoned building up. It's, you have Mervo, that's a vocational school. Carver's a vocational school. Evanston is a vocational school. Why not give them abandoned buildings, let them build them up?
Amen.
Why not take and let them fix the inside of those buildings up instead of selling them to these mongers for a dollar where they flip them for a couple thousand dollars instead of everybody trying to turn a profit off of it? Why not get some people off the street?
Amen.
Why does anybody have to be homeless? Oh, yeah, it's a business. It's money in it. You know, it's a reminder to folks. Now I can get this nice checks right off for charities and this, that, and another. I can do all that. I can flip this. I can turn this into a way to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But that's their thinking. And Yahusha has to endure all this. I didn't make you like this, man. You were never designed to be like this. You're not supposed to think like this. But we even got so far away. And you know, and part, here's another part of the big thing. Why can't we hear Yahweh's voice? This plays a big reason. Technology plays a big reason in it because we move so far away from the elements, from what's given. You know, we move so far away from it. And you know me, I play video games. You know, I'm sitting up there, click, 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 click. That's entertaining to me, killing and stuff like that on a video game. You know, but if we, I mean, think about it, we move, it was a point in time, you know, when we sing this song, Kol Yahweh is over the waters, the mighty one, the mighty one of glory dunking through the sky, they understood that was the voice of Yahweh.
Amen.
You know, they understood when the wind blew a certain way. Or how can you follow, how is it Moses knew exactly which cloud to follow, you know? What was it? How he was that close to the Most High.
Amen.
How is it? Okay, Joshua. I want you to pick Joshua. Joshua? Yeah. Now I want you to hold this staff up in the air. And as you're holding it up in the air, they're going to win. As long as you hold this staff up in the air, they're going to win. So you got Moses, and only Yahweh can hear him. Yahweh's only talking to him. He's holding his staff up in the air, and they're fighting, and everybody's winning. So when the staff start to go down, they start losing. But somebody's paying attention to Moses. So they're like, okay, let's get some stuff to prop his arms up, and I'm like, because I need that staff to stay up. That's what I need, because we want to win.
Amen.
But only Yahweh was talking to Moses,
right?
You know? But people were paying attention to Moses, so they understood some stuff. He was that to Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? Go talk to this rock, and water going to come from it. Do I have to bring water from this rock? Bop, bop. I ain't tell you to hit the rock, but guess what? Water going to come from it because you my man, and I'm not going to let your words fall to the ground.
Amen.
That's how close we are. Because you said you was going to bring water from that rock, I'm going to honor that. But it's a penalty for this one.
Amen.
You know? But he was just that close to the Most High. You know, when we read about these men and these ain't going to be no way for 3.5 years because I said so.
Amen.
He's that close to the Most High. When we read about these things, they had a relationship that was like no other.
Amen.
And that's what he wants with us. That's what he wants to get back to. When you talk about renewing the mind, Adam could hear Yahweh's voice. He heard his voice walking in the cool of the day. He understood the presence of the Most High, where it was and when it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants with us.
Amen.
To get back to that point.
Right.
You know, where we understand, don't go this way. Okay. Which way, Father? Go to the left. And he leads us and keeps us out of danger. And, you know, and then we watch the evening news and find out, hey, if I would have went to the right, something disastrous would have happened.
Right.
You know? He wants us to trust in him and really get back to that relationship where we totally understand him, totally rely on him, and understand how he's feeling about certain things. You know? He said, Yahushua, let's read that one. Matthew chapter 23. We're going to start at verse 29. So this is when he just laid into the Pharisees about being hypocrites. Well, one of the many times that he laid into the Pharisees about being hypocrites and told them, man, y'all like sepulchres. Y'all whitewash, but inside ain't nothing but dead man bones. You know? So in verse 29, it reads, Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 29, it reads, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteousness." You the ones that's killing the prophets. You making the sepulchres of righteous men look real pretty, but you the ones killing them. Y'all doing this. Verse 30. And say, after you do that, you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killeth the prophets. Now think about Yahushua when he's saying this, right? He was the one who sent the prophets out, rising them up early, sending them out early. He was the one sending them out. Now he's telling y'all, y'all the ones killing them. So y'all killing my mans in them, right? So he says, verse 32, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? So he's getting pissed, you know. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteousness, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Bacariah, whom you slew between the temple and the altars. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto them, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. How do you think Yahushua is feeling right now? He's so hurt by this. He's so hurt that y'all don't listen. I'm sitting up here, I'm begging y'all to send prophets to you. I'm still sending prophets to you.
Amen.
Some of them, these new, the same way you killed Zechariah between the altar and the temple, you're going to scourge these ones I'm sending to you. You're going to beat these scribes. You're going to take them to the synagogues. You ain't going to treat them no worse, no better than what your forefathers did. But yet you're going to say, well, nah, if we was back then, we wouldn't have been killing the prophets. None of that. We better than our forefathers. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not. And it's a shame because even in all these years, you haven't made any progress. That's what's so hurting to him. You know, we read about how we're supposed to leave the elementary things. He wants us to grow in him, and men are not growing in him. And that's a hurtful thing to him. You know? The way we see Yahushua, it's also always supposed to be wrong. If he's always teaching us, if he's always imparting wisdom to us, it should always be growing if we're listening and we're learning. So either we're not learning, we're not listening, or he ain't talking. Now, I'm going to eliminate number three because he's always talking to us, always, you know. The world, he says, talks daily for him. The world declares for him, speaks to us on a daily basis, that he's always in communication with us. So either we ain't listening or we ain't learning.
Amen.
One of the two. It's always, it's us, you know. So, he says, behold, your house is, verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh.
Amen.
So he's hurt that you wouldn't accept him. He's hurt that you wouldn't listen. But that's okay. I'm going to endure this pain for a little bit. But you're going to see me again, and every knee going to bow, every tongue going to confess, and those who did accept, they're going to feel joy. Those who didn't accept, y'all getting something else. Y'all getting torment, getting anguish, because you should have listened. You should have listened to that man that I sent to you that told you to turn the other way. To stop doing these things. To stop doing. It's your choice. You're right. It's your life. You're right. But guess what? Everything, like Paul wrote, Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
Amen.
You can do whatever you want in this world. You're going to have to pay the consequences for it.
Right.
That's the thing. So, last verse. Any questions or comments so far?
One thought.
Yes, sir.
How the Creator, or Messiah, which is the Creator, he spoke over their head, and they wasn't paying attention to what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that you emphasized, he said, wherefore, behold, I send unto you, Father.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling them he's the one that's been sending all those fires. It went right over their head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and you see a little incident or example like that. He would say something to indicate exactly who he was, and it just went over their head.
Mm-hmm.
Get it.
And they wasn't going to get it. You know, and the sad thing is, even when John said, hey, who are you? And he sent the students on him. He was like, look, do you see the blind being healed? Do you see the lame walking? Do you see? All right, tell John that. And from that, you are the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm doing the things that were written about me. You know? And John got it. He knew. You know, but some folks still didn't know. You know, they still didn't know. But any other comments or questions? So this is the last verse. Micah chapter 4, starting at verse 11. Micah chapter 4, verse 11. And it reads, now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of Yahweh, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. So the nations don't understand the word of Yahweh.
Amen.
They don't understand his thoughts. They weren't given to them. They was given to the people of Zion. They were given to Israel.
That's right.
We have his thoughts. We have. I thought that was the last one. But let's look at what Paul wrote. I think it's in Romans. Romans 3:1. Romans 3, chapter 1, says, Romans chapter 3, verse 1, it says, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly. So, yeah, there's an advantage in being a Jew. Yeah, there's an advantage in circumcision. We can go on for days about it. But the number one reason, the worst reason beyond everything that I could ever say, he says, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of Elohim. They have the words of the Most High. Therefore, they have the mind of the Most High. Therefore, they have the ability to speak for the Most High.
Amen.
He entrusted that with the Yahudim, Israel. That's who he entrusted it with. So therefore, we should understand Yahweh like nobody else. We should. So that's it, family. Any questions or comments? I hope we, as we continue to live and continue to go Shabbat and just live our daily lives, you know, that we get closer to Abba and really understand what he's trying to express to us, you know, really take our time and really understand his feelings and understand his thoughts, you know. So, if there are no more questions, comments, Kokun. Chevelle, you mind closing us out, please?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Abba. Father, thank you for giving us the breath of life. Father, thank you, first of all, for opening up our spiritual ears, our spiritual eyes. Thank you for using Father Dan Well as your vessel, your willing vessel, Father God, pour into him. Father God, to prove your word, Lord, Father, Lord. Told us not to be anxious for anything, Father God, and in due time, your spirit will reveal to us what you need us to hear. Father God, that's just confirmed through this lesson today that you are with us and that you're nearby with us.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father God, to continue to use us and guide us as your instruments and tools in this darkened world. We are the children of the kingdom. Father God, continue. Give us your word. Continue to give us your spirit, Father God, most of all, that we be patient with the people in this darkened world. We bring them to your common work of Israel. You gave your command only to. And Father God, for us to be the light for the teachers in this world, and to keep our salt so we don't lose the favor of the salt, Father God. Father God, thank you to you. Bless us today in this room when we gathered. As you said, when we two or more gathered, when we gathered, you are here in the midst, Father God. You probably got down today also to decrease the work and increase in them also so we can continue to get fed from our power. Bless those who are amongst us now. Bless those who are listening through the airways, Father God, that can't attend in person. Bless those that are ailing and heal them, Father, and comfort them through this day. Bless those in Israel all around the world that know that they're Israel and that they continue to hurt you and listen to your word. And bless and forgive those, Father God, that are not aware that they are Israel, that they're here in this land of captivity, Father God, that's doing their own form of righteousness, but that's not the, what you gave, Father God. It's right there, right there for your word. Father God, bless me, forgive me of anything I've done that wasn't in your will, Father God. Thank you. I ask you, give us your son, Yahushua's name. Amen.
Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen. Might have gone, baby. Where were you?
Oh, Chance, it's not important. Well, you could tell me. Say, you wouldn't be interested.
I am, baby.
I went from the lonely to one of those meetings where women talk about their problems. You know, all that silly talk about trying to better themselves.
One of them women's groups? Well, I'm surprised you're wasting your time at a crazy ladies' meeting like that.
You asked me to sit down. I think you said enough.
Well, there's one thing I ain't got no patience with. It's when I try to push in and take over a man's job.
Hey, that is not what women are after.
Don't tell me, Floyd. I see it every day. They're taking the food right out of our mouth.
I think you said enough.
Hey, woman, what's wrong with you? You don't tell me when to talk. See, you've been to one damn meet right where you're flying in my face.
And nobody else.
of this hole myself.
Well, what hole, baby? Now, what's wrong with being a wife and a mother?
Nothing, except my family is all grown up now, and I still don't have nothing to talk about but my husband and my kids. James, there's a whole world out there, and I'm not a part of it. I want to be somebody too.
Florida, you always been somebody to me. What am I supposed to be with this new thing?
My husband. And I'm your wife. James, I don't want to walk ahead of you, but I don't want to walk behind you either. I want to walk with you.